It's Tuesday, December 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a Primer of the Tech podcast network. Hey everyone, it's almost Christmas. We've got a great show for you. I know many of you are on travel. I hope you're catching the show before you head out or while you're out on travel. Otherwise, we got a great one for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Show podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and of course I want to... welcome you, and if you get a chance, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And get signed up for our newsletter. A newsletter contains everything that I cover during the show, including content that is submitted by our listening audience. If you have comments on today's show, you can send them to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can send them off to the voicemail hotline at +1 619-342-7365. Now, you want to get subscribed via either your mobile media device, via your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Android, whatever it may be that you're using for a mobile phone, or you can use our standard MP3 player. Get subscribed to the RSS feed. That'll get you the show delivered directly to your device automatically, and you won't miss a show that comes out twice a week. I record this every Monday and Thursday night with a release Tuesday and Friday morning for the audio audience. Those of you that are joining us on Ustream, want to welcome you guys to the show here tonight. And, of course, all of the 99.9999% of you that subscribe via the audio podcast link on a variety of websites, thanks for being here. And, of course, again, you can subscribe via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace. I got one thing that I forgot to do tonight that I need to reach over here and flip a switch on. It'll take me just a second. Let me do that and get in with the introductions tonight. Okay, lots of stuff going on. Things have kind of calmed down a little bit. Obviously, I'm still here in Honolulu. I have not flew the coop, luckily. It looks like I'm going to be home for the holidays, and within family, and I don't have to travel anywhere, which is good news. And boy, there for a while it was touch and go. But what was happening with overseas has kind of resolved itself, and my wife and I aren't going to have to head out. I'm going to do my list here. But I want to welcome, of course, all of the Ohana to the show, all of you that are longtime subscribers. Thanks for being here. And, of course, the new listeners and, of course, the listeners from 160 countries worldwide. I want to thank you guys for subscribing to the show and listening wherever you may be. Okay, hey, a few things. I want to, of course, give a warm thank you to the folks that have been contributing to my salary replacement plan. That's going pretty good, and I'll give you a report here on the new year on where we're at percentage-wise, just a week or so into that campaign, I guess. So thank you all for all of that. Been lots of stuff in planning for Consumer Electronics Show, as I talked about in the last show. It's just really 2 weeks away from when we're going to be starting to do our first reported content from Vegas. And I get in there Monday morning, January 4th, and then we'll be doing, basically getting all the gear organized on the 4th, and then interviews will start. I think our first interview is with Seagate on January 5th, and we're working our schedule the whole week. But one thing that Jeffrey over at geekazine.com, he called me this afternoon as I was driving around, actually picking some stuff up. He said, hey, Todd, who are we going to pick to invite to our to our NBC Universal main stage appearance. Of course, our friends over there, NBC Universal, have given us the opportunity to stream two live events, Saturday and Sunday. I believe the dates on that are the 9th and the 10th of January. We'll be streaming live events, again, from NBC Universal main stage. And he says, who do you think we should have on? And I'm like, well, I guess as people we find cool, you know, products during the show, we'll invite them. And he made the suggestion that we ask all of you, who do you think we should invite to come on and, you know, talk story with us a little bit. And so I'm going to make this kind of an open thing tonight. We're going to have a survey up on the Tech Podcast website starting tomorrow. I'm basically asking the question, who do you want to see during our live streaming event? Which company, if it's a CEO of some company, if it's an engineer, a product lead for a specific product, you know, who do you specifically want to see at that event? And, you know, what the beauty of this is it's going to be a very high level, high visibility event. So we're not going to have any problems. Matter of fact, now that I've really sent out emails to about 300 of our press contacts that have been emailing us and people that we've known in the past, that shows everyone is really kind of jockeying for a position to be, you know, taking one of those multiple spots that we'll make available during those two live streaming events. And so, you know, for me, I could probably go through in 15 minutes within those 300 companies. I could probably, you know, boom, 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 I could pick out 20 companies that we'd want to, that I'd like to talk to. But the show is not about who Todd wants to talk to. It's about who you want to see. So it's, I'd like to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. And you really, all you have to do is to find out who's exhibiting is go over to the Consumer Electronics Show website, kind of do some scouting around there. And just do CES 2010 in Google. You'll find the direct link back over to the CEA website. So if you've got an idea and you have a suggestion, or if there's a product, a new product that's coming out that you want to see, a camera, video camera, whether it be a new device, whatever the device that the folks can carry, we're going to have a table that will be about, we'll be able to put 3 to 4 people behind the table, and then it's maybe, you know, 5 or 6 feet across, something to that effect. So we'll have to be able to get the product on the table. So if it's, you know, if it's a big flat screen TV, it's not happening. But if it's something small where we can get up there relatively easy on and off stage, it'll be a fun event. It really, really is. And it's, you know, we've been stressing the logistics of getting this put together. But I think Andy, as I talked about in the last show, Andy and I spent about an hour kind of whiteboarding how everything's going to work and set up. And matter of fact, as a insurance policy, based upon some stuff that I found out later this week, I've actually ordered one more complete wireless set so that we will have, that if we need to have all three of us up on basically wireless mics, we can do that. Or, they're not wireless mics, but they're the little lapel types. That'll come to me in a second. But if we need to do that, we will. NBC Universal has indicated that their mixer is going to be, our mixer board is going to be available for us. But working, you know how everything plugs in on your board, and you know how you got your, you know, you got everything labeled and click, 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 it's all going to go in, and you plug it into the computer and blah, 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 you're ready to go. And you never know when you get to someone else's board, you're like, oh, I got the wrong connector. So we'll be prepared for the worst case scenario one way or the other, whether it be XLR, quarter inch jack, whatever it will be, we'll be able to swap out and be good. We'll be probably heading over there Wednesday. Thursday to actually take a look at the stage and look at the hookups and make sure we're good. If not, we'll be running to get cables and so forth. But if you have stock in FedEx, this is a time to buy FedEx right now. Stock, because after I get done shipping everything I got to ship to Vegas, they're going to have a good reporting quarter. It is simply ridiculous. I remember the first year I went to CES, I went with a suitcase and my computer bag. The second year I went to CES, it was with a suitcase, computer bag, and an extra camera. Now I'm up to three camera rigs, tripods, monopods, up to 4 to 5 wireless devices. In other words, 4 combinations of transmitters, receivers, multiple mics, lots of lights, and it's crazy. And I'm looking at all this stuff, I'm thinking, first of all, you got to pay by the pound to get it out of the hotel bounty. Basically, it goes into the hotel, and the hotel says, oh, yeah, you got to pay us $1 a pound or whatever it is to get it out of their, you know, out of their capture system that they, it's how they, you know, roll you over, and it's not good. So you pay the FedEx fee into the hotel, then you pay the hotel their handling charge to get it out of the handling room, then you get it, you know, go through your whole process, get done at the end of the event, and then you get stuck again because you take it back to them, because really you don't want to go run to FedEx. You've had it. You don't want to go load, you know, 10 boxes into a car to roll down to the local FedEx and carry everything in. That's just, no. You want to just take it to the folks at the business center, drop it off, be done with it, and go to your room and just, you know, fall flat face first into your bed, because it's a long week, as you all have watched in the past. Now, I will have a suite this year, so I'll probably be doing some interviews in the suite there at Monte Carlo, so it'll be good. So anyway, let me know what you want to hear on the NBC Universal main stage. But I'm really excited. You guys know we're playing hard. We're taking, total count now is 9. 9 folks are going to go to CES this year. I think that's our final count of a team that we'll have on the ground there. And a bunch of people that are fans of this show are going to be there as well. Jack will be there. Tom will be there. So it's going to be a great event. Hey, big news did come out today. I got an email from the folks at Blip.TV. The Tech Podcast Network main channel, our primary channel where all our HD or all our interviews go up, and also our back channel where our SD content goes, where this is basically behind the scenes and Life and Times and CES real world kind of type of content. Both those channels have been approved and they're now going to be on Roku and on the TiVo, on the Blip TV plug-in on the Roku box. So if you got a Roku box and you didn't see any of the CES 2009 content, all that's on there now. And so we're going to start adding stuff here, obviously, in January, so you get all the fresh content. So if you've got a Roku or a TiVo, go to the Blip TV plug-in, and you'll be able to see the Tech Podcast content. Now, Geek News Central is also now on the Roku box and on TiVo. So if you're depending on where you're watching the show or listening to the show, you can watch on your Roku or in your TiVo. Okay, of course, I want to give everyone a Merry Christmas. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah as well. And everyone have a joyous time here over the holidays. And of course, we're all looking forward to a better 2010. Well, let's take care of a little business and I'll get right into the content. You know, GoDaddy.com, really, they are the mainstay of this show. They take care of sponsoring the show, and they help me keep the lights on and keep things going here. So when you're thinking about a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, a secure socket layer SSL certificate, think about GoDaddy. And my friends over there would appreciate the business. I would appreciate you giving them your business. And when you get to the checkout counter, I got some great promo codes for you. Of course, you can find that in column 2 of the website at geeknewscentral.com. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd 20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. That's a great Christmas gift to give someone, get them set up, to get them blogging, get them in the social, get them going in the social social media. And of course, Todd will save you 10%. TODD will save you 10% on non-domain orders. All the promo codes are there at geeknewscentral.com. Really, this last couple of months would not have been possible with the traveling, with the ongoing planning for everything that's going on right now within Raw Voice, within Tech Podcast, within this show, without GoToMeeting. You know, to be able to have a meeting just basically with the click of the fingers to get going and get started is simply amazing. I fly a lot, I travel a lot, but when I'm traveling, I still have meetings. It's not like I'm not continuously having other meetings. Sometimes you do have to go someplace, but when the opportunity affords you to just stay at your computer, GoToMeeting is a product that you want to use. It's simple to use. You can start a meeting with a single click of the button. You can invite someone in real easily via email. You just basically can talk via your webcam that's right on your computer, the microphone that's right on your computer. So you don't even have to pick up a telephone. They see what you see. You can see their screen if you want, trade back and forth. And it's all available for a free 30-day trial. You go to meeting.com/tech podcast. Go to meeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day demo of GoToMeeting. And thanks for GoToMeeting. And, of course, GoDaddy for being longtime sponsors here. All right, let me go ahead and look at the list. I think we're good on everything. I know some of you are enjoying a little holiday time off. If you've joined me on YouTube tonight, I want to thank you for joining. I will not be able to watch what's being talked about in chat until the end of the show. If you want to hang out to the end of the show, which will be in about an hour, feel free to do so. And then we can yak and we can, you know, do some stuff afterwards. But I know you're all here for the content. Let's get into it. Hey, Twitter announced today that their content search deals looks like is going to make them profitable. And I'm thinking to myself, how can a company who this year received, I don't know, $100 million in funding be profitable? How does that work? You know, how does a company that, you know, has taken so much money in investment, all of a sudden, I guess that doesn't count towards their bottom line of expense. But data mining deals signed in October will bring in $25 million in exchange for rendering Twitter tweets searchable on Google and on Microsoft Bing. So, well, if they only got $25 million for a year of allowing Google and Bing to access to that Twitter stream, what were they thinking? You know, I don't know about you, but I would think that would be worth a little more, wouldn't you guys? $25 million, that's it? So I guess that made them profitable. We'll see what happens next year. Yeah, they have to be profitable, whatever. Hey, we talked about the Roku a little bit already, but Roku, and even when I got a confession. You guys know I've told you before I've never watched a Lost. Well, Netflix made available the ability to instantly get, you can basically go through and pick movies and you can watch them immediately. You watch them on your computer. I can actually watch them on my Roku box. So all I really do is I subscribe to the movie. You know, you can't do all movies, but you can subscribe to a few that they make available. And one of the series they made available for immediate streaming was Lost. Well, Lost is recorded here in Hawaii. I've never watched it. Not a single episode. And I had to look. Wait, someone's outside laughing, walking on the sidewalk, I guess. Well, anyway, I never watched an episode of Lost until two nights ago. So now I'm blasting through season one. And those of you that are Lost fans, I think you'll giggle. You guys will know I talked about I haven't watched it. But yeah, I'm sucked in. It got its hook in me. But this just goes to show the power of the Roku. They've moved beyond Netflix. And they've got video from Amazon.com. They have web TV from stuff from, of course, from Blip, from Mediafly, from a variety of other providers now. And it seems like every day that I log in, or actually turn the box on, there's new stuff. Now, what's made that possible is the Roku Player SDK is now open to all developers. So you can absolutely be guaranteed tomorrow night when my team meets for our last meeting of the year at Raw Voice, it's going to be a topic of hot interest because I'm going to tell Angelo, I don't care what you do, hire someone, whatever it takes, I want us to be able to have our own channel, either Blueberry Tech Podcast, our medical network, our travel network, all that. I want to have our own video channel on the Roku box. This is the way. I've told you guys, this is, you know, it's, and of course, the Roku's got a geek factor now. It's basically geek penetration. But for $99, it's an amazing device. It really, really is. And so anyway, the SDK is open. In other words, software development kit is open. And that means we still have to get the content approved, but with 5,000 content producers over at Blueberry, you can absolutely be guaranteed that we'll find a lot of great content to be shoved into these channels. And I'm really excited about it. I really, really am. And what's good here is we're not locked into having to go through Blip or go through some of these other companies. They don't own the space. And I'm looking at some of the way they implement some of their stuff. I think we can do a lot better job. So anyway, we'll stand by on that. We'll let you know. All right, Digital Noise over at CNET. The five most welcome digital audio products of 2009. What was your most, you know, what was the product that you was most happy to see come on the market this year? You know, I know many of you are still big Apple fans, and you probably have an iPod Touch. You've got a, you know, whatever it may be, whatever media device you may have. There's still a lot of other cool stuff out there. The Zune HD made the 2009 list. Of course, there's all kinds of applications that are being loaded in Apple products. Those made the list with Rhapsody and Spotify. Talked about the Sonos S5 and their product that they made available, which is pretty cool. The iConcert Cal for iPhone. This is for live music fans. This is one that made the list as well. So, and Windows 7. Windows 7 as well. And I have to say, from what I saw with Windows Media Center on Windows 7, they're treating new media creators just like CBS. So that's what excites me about what they've done with Windows 7 and Windows Media Center. If you haven't loaded Windows Media Center and Windows 7, do that. And then just look around and see the new media content intermixed with the mainstream content. All right, do you live in Maine? I know we've got a few listeners that live up in Maine. As a matter of fact, I got some good friends that live up in Maine. Matter of fact, one of my best friends, his name's Jeff. Jim. Jeez. Sorry, Jim. Jay, it was close, right? Best friend. That's how good of a friend am I, right? All right, anyway, Jim was the guy that we had this huge, huge, I'm a PC, I'm a Mac. And of course, he was the Mac. This was back in the early days of when Apple was making a comeback. And, you know, we had these just like PC Mac wars, and it was when I was still in the military, and we would do terrible things to each other. He filled my hotel room one time with he'd cut out small apples, literally thousands of them, stuck them in between my sheets and drawers, in between books, in my files, I found little apple paper apples for months. And this is and I came home and would still find them in bags and clothes pockets and you name it. But anyway, I'm digressing here. But he's up in Maine, so I know he watches the show from time to time. But Maine is considering a cancer warning on cell phones. So although there is no conclusive proof that mobile phones cause cancer, a Maine legislator wants to require all mobile phones sold in the state to carry warnings that say mobile phones may do so. Now, having worked in electronics my entire life, having been really involved with RF, in other words, radio frequencies, basically transmitted radio frequencies my entire career when I was in the military. You know, I've always said that you probably shouldn't have your phone up next to your ear all the time because it's a transmitter and it's transmitting radio frequencies, which is, in a sense, you're getting radiated a little bit. And so, you know, hands-free devices are smart. I guess we'll know in 30 years when there are massive cases of brain cancer from all of us having used cell phones our entire lives. We'll find out. But, you know, with electromagnetic radiation, there's, again, no conclusive proof. But if I was a betting man, you know, based upon, you know, my experience and knowing that really any type of RF radiation, however small, is not necessarily good. And I dealt mostly with high-power radar stuff. You know, high-power radar too close to a man can, you know, really do some serious damage. In women, too, in the reproductive organs and so forth. So, cook you from the inside out, just like a microwave does. But, you know, I think this is something that will be forthcoming. I'm sure we're going to see it on all cell phones before it's all over. All right, you know, we thought SciStar was dead. The SciStar site is back online. And I'm wondering, okay, is this just like a Hail Mary to hope that, you know, that they can sell a few products maybe to pay for their legal bills? over on Computer World, they're reporting that even though Apple got huge injunctions on them to take everything down, their website was back online selling a product called Rebel EFI. It's a $50 utility that lets owners of generic PCs install and run Apple Snow Leopard operating system. Now, when someone tried to actually add that to their cart, it was basically set out of stock. Now, how are you out of stock on a software download? You're not. So they're probably at this time still weighing their legal options on whether or not they can make this available. So here's the question to all of you. If you could download a $50 utility to easily make your PC run Apple Snow Leopard, would you? Now, I guess it would depend on what the limitations of the application was, but I'm sure there's a number of you that would consider that. So, obviously, SciStar saying that they're going to let all their employees go, all 8. And again, I think they only sold 500 computers during the entire time, so maybe that's an indication of how many people would be willing to buy this Rebel EFI product for $50. TapTap Revenge. How many of you have this TapTap Revenge on your iPhone? You know, I must be the two-thirds that don't. They say over a third of iPhone users have TapTap Revenge app on their iPhone. And the company behind it's making $1 million per month. Who would have ever thought? I guess, you know, as crazy as people are with Rock Band or Guitar Hero, it should not come as any surprise. And actually, my son had asked me to add this app to my my wife's iPhone, and I had not. So I guess that is the how many of you have it? And you think about that, $1 million a month they're making off that. Just such a simple idea, making that big of money. Now, how many of you have got a big screen TV that you still have to hook up to a cable box? And if I would bet, I would bet that would be the high majority of you have a big screen TV that may have a slot for a cable card, but probably doesn't have one in it. And of course, this is loading slow on my other. Actually, let me go back to this. There we go. But you know, the cable card was supposed to be, you know, our freedom from these boxes that the cable companies rent to us or give to us as a fee, or give to us each month as part of our fee. But the FCC at the same time is finally thinking, okay, this has not worked. And the FCC is going to take a stab at redoing and fix the limitations of what has happened with, you know, basically no one being able to get a cable card. So the article today in Home Upgrade talks about what needs to be done. And there's another article I'm going to link up into the show notes. It was from Ars Technica talking about the cable card as a failure and how they're going to try to do something else. Matter of fact, it's actually linked on the bottom of the article that I'm showing here on the Ustream feed. So, you know, I've thought about, at one time, putting a big screen TV here in the office and putting it on the back wall. And I spend so much time in here. It would be nice every once in a while to kind of flip on the news. But I don't want to have to, you know, deal with getting another cable box and bringing it in and wiring it up. And, you know, I'd rather just, you know, I got a cable drop right there. Why can't I just plug it in? You know, I can do that now, but I don't get any of the channels I'm subscribed to. So, you know, they ought to do something because there's a lot of us in that situation. You know, a lot of us have TVs that are cable card ready. And, you know, our consoles in our homes, many of you probably have an Xbox. Maybe you've got a Roku. You got a TiVo down there. You know, you've got 2 or 3, 4 things already in it there. The last thing you want is that DVR, you know, taking up space, you know, underneath the rack that is, or the cable, you know, the cable box. You know, that thing has seen its day. It needs for it to go away. It really, really does. You know, what's going to happen is, you know, all these TV manufacturers. Matter of fact, I saw a report today of an IP-ready cable TV or IP-ready TV. In other words, it's Wi-Fi enabled, or you can plug a 10BASE-T into it, connect it to the Ethernet. You know, so that's what's going to happen. you know, we're all going to get to the point where, like, I call the cable company and say, okay, cancel my cable. Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want to cancel my internet. I do want to cancel my cable. Well, why are we going to do that, sir? Well, because I'm getting all my TV over the internet. You know, that's what's going to happen. Do they not realize it's just like the music business? Do they not realize they have to change and do something very quickly? I think they're just, you know, sticking their heads in the sand and hoping this issue goes away. It's not. It's 5 years. Give it 5 years. And cable companies, as we know it today, are going to be in big, big trouble. All right, over on Extreme Tech, Mars Phoenix Lander may become undead. As you remember, the NASA's Phoenix Mars Lander was basically up there on a pole. It's near the, where is it? Is it North or South Pole in Mars? And it survived, actually, it went through a winter. And now the area in which the Phoenix Lander is warming up. And they're hoping to revive the Phoenix Mars Lander. And what Lockheed Martin did, they included what they're calling a secret Lazarus mode that could re-energize Phoenix if scientists can reestablish contact. If the hidden mode actually works, the only obstacle remaining would be whether the solar panels are survived, whether or not, you know, they can get enough juice to to get this thing back online. They're really positive that, if they can establish communications, that they can probably bring this thing a little bit back to life little by little and maybe actually do some more science with it. Now, it was only tested to, I think I was reading in the lab, and I don't know why they didn't do this. Probably it was too expensive to test it at this temperature. But it was already tested at minus 55 degrees Celsius. That's pretty cold. Now, that's minus 67 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, a winter on Mars averages about 126 degrees Celsius, which is minus 195 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, you think about that. Okay, minus 67 degrees Fahrenheit to minus 195. You know, what's 130 degrees Fahrenheit between friends, right? If it was able to reactivate at minus 67, well, you know, what's another 130 degrees? Probably a lot, but we'll see. It's only a matter of time. And their window to really start going after this has started, and they'll be looking over the next couple of months to see if it'll actually call home per se, or if they can actually reestablish contact. I bet you the batteries on the thing just blew up. It's whatever he uses for power. You know, the power cells are the only thing that's going to bring it up. I can't imagine the batteries being good. You know. I just can't. Maybe they were. I don't know. We'll see. Let's move on. Over on Computer World, Apple firmware update aims to fix iMac flickering. If you have a 27-inch iMac, do a update, and they have a supposed fix for your display issue online today. Over on Wired, they're talking about Ford's Sync. Of course, you guys, if you haven't, if you've been listening to any podcast except for some of ours, you've been hearing about the Ford Sync, and of course everyone's been, you know, raving about this product. It's going to be in Ford cars, you know, select Ford models. Next year, Ford is making its cars into mobile Wi-Fi hotspots, and they're going to upgrade Sync so that every car that is installed with Sync essentially will be in its own bubble, its own little Wi-Fi hotspot. And they're going to be dropping a 4G network in as well. So I have 3G/4G available. And it'll switch automatically if it's in a reception area. And the hardware costs about $200. And then there's a service cost of $29 a month. You have long commutes. And if you have people commuting with you, pretty cool idea. But if you're a business person and you spend a lot of time in your car, a realtor or something like that, it makes a lot of sense too. So we'll see what happens with Sync and where Ford takes this. If you eat at McDonald's a lot, starting in January, visitors to 11,000 McDonald's restaurants will be offered free Wi-Fi with their Big Macs. Now, How many McDonald's are in the United States? There's got to be more than 11,000. So, you know, heck, half the time you see one on every corner these days. But, you know, last year, a lot of companies started charging from what they, you know, they had initially offered stuff for free. And they started charging, then reverse course. So now you'll be able to go into Mickey D's and get a couple hours free Wi-Fi access with a purchase instead of paying them $2.95 for your time online. You know, I don't know the last time that I actually went into McDonald's. I really don't. I think I go through the drive-thru, but I don't remember. I don't know the last time I actually went into one and actually sit down. And I guess if you need an internet fix bad, that's an option. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how this turns out. Okay, Firefox 3.5 is now the world's most popular browser. And the folks over have been watching its market share. And this is interesting. It's possible that 3.5 will retain a top spot as long as Internet Explorer 8, although Internet Explorer 8 is catching up, which is interesting. So you got to admit, though, the folks at Mozilla have done a good job here with Firefox and gotten a pretty good penetration. But more and more people I talk to continue to tell me that they are having good success with Opera. Right now, Opera is got a 9.6 market share. Let's see if I can actually read this graph. Yeah, Opera's continuing to climb fast, so we'll see what happens with Opera. And of course, if Firefox continues to have crash issues, like a lot of people have been having, and more memory issues, you know, we could start to see that that decline over time. But currently, Firefox 3.5 is the world's most popular browser, according to market share of, you know, basically stats that are coming in through a variety of ISPs. Malware and botnet operators are going ISP. You know, up to this point, most of the malware and botnet operators have been operating from servers that they go buy from server farms. They'll go buy 4 or 5 servers. They'll load them up with the, you know, do a month-to-month service plan. And maybe they get a week's worth of utilization out of them before they get shut down. Well, what they're doing now is malware and botnet operators are setting up their own virtual data centers, and they're buying their own servers. Then they're going out and requesting IP space. In other words, they're going out and submitting an application to get a large block of IPs, which, you know, I didn't even know you could get larger block of IPs anymore, but apparently you can. And once they get that large block of IPs, they just start dropping servers in data centers, and it's very hard to get them shut down now. When they shut them down, they go pick the servers up, and they move them to a different data center, and they, you know, use a couple of different IPs, and they're back in business. And the bad guys are going to some local registries in Europe and getting, I guess, massive numbers of IP space and setting up a variety of hosting providers within their data centers. And, you know, if they're doing that, there's got to be huge, huge money in what they're doing. If you think about that, they're buying servers, getting IPs assigned, you know, large blocks of IPs assigned to them that they can issue, and moving from data center to data center, it's got to be big money. It really, really does. So where will this end? I don't know. All right, we all know that there is an asteroid that I guess in 2029 will make an approach to Earth that will come. It'll be the closest asteroid approach in recorded history. Well, at least ones that we've, well, again, recorded history. And pass about 18,300 miles away, which is a pretty close call. The folks at NASA have made an animation of this, and it's over on Wired. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you. You can check it out. But, you know, what is the chance of this saying in like the next 20 years, having a little degrade in its orbit or, whatever happens up there in space. You know, what are the chances of this thing, it's got a 1 in 250,000 chance of making a direct strike, which, you know, I guess in the gambling odds is not real good odds. But still, 1 in 250,000, 2029. What age will I be then? That's not too far away if you think about it. Another 20 years. Okay, Chicago Tribune noticed that more accidents happening at many intersections with red light cameras. And it's not all, but a lot of essentially intersections that that have these red light cameras, they're seeing a high number of rear ends where people are slamming on their brakes to try to stop to not blow the light. And then they see an increase of people that are actually speeding up trying to get through the light and then actually end up getting T-boned. So this is kind of interesting. You know, you would think that you have an intersection with a red light camera. You would expect people to, if they drive in that area, to say, okay, that light has a camera on it. I better be careful. And that they would, you know, pay more attention. You know, this may bypass the claim that these cameras increase safety. Now, it's not in all red light camera situations, but a pretty good percentage of them, at least in Chicago, they're seeing a lot of accidents, an increase in accidents at these particular intersections. So if anything else, you know, that may give you a more, make you more aware. There's a little rumor coming out of Apple that Apple may be on the verge of making some deals, specifically with CBS and Walt Disney, which, you know, Walt Disney runs ABC, considering a proposal by Apple to offer a subscription-based TV service over the internet. Now, okay, CBS, ABC, Walt Disney, you know, what is that? Handful of channels that they own between them. But if they put this on an Apple TV device, like the Apple TV, this could be big. It can make a difference. You know, so far their strategy with the Apple TV has been junk. You know what we use my Apple TV for? We use it to do when friends come over. We just basically put the slideshow on and let the pictures we've shot that year run through. That's the only really thing we use it for. And the kids, we use it to watch little YouTube videos from time to time. But if they make this deal happen, there's going to be some cable companies that are going to be very, very upset. Podcasters out there, if you are a fan of The Levelator, Doug Kay's weblog, he's reporting that The Levelator 2.0 beta has begun. He's made some changes to it. So check that out. I'll have that link, of course, for you up in the show notes. Are you ready for the next version of the iPhone? Apparently, Apple's already locking down dates for the iPhone announcement at WWDC 2010. That'll happen between June 28th and July 2nd of 2010. So that's going to be a significant event by Apple where they'll be making some new announcements and generally where they announce new iPhones. Hey, those of you that are that follow the Mac heartbeat more, when is it? Is the MacBook Pro? Have you guys heard anything on whether or not the MacBook Pro is going to get the Intel i7 chip? You guys heard anything on this at all? Is that going to happen, or is there a heat factor? Does anybody know when Apple is due to update their MacBook Pro line again? I'm kind of curious on that. And it's been about a year, right, since they updated the MacBook Pro. Aren't we due in the spring for a refresh? I would think so. Especially with the iMacs getting the update recently. All right, if you're a criminal and you're ripping off people's mobile phones, you know, you got to use a little common sense. Peter Gamblin, a 24-year-old former billiard champion in the UK, was busted for stealing a cell phone after the victim called him up and asked him for his name and address. He said, "Hey, yeah, my name is Peter Gamblin. That's spelled G-A-M-B-L-I-N. I guess, you know, try to come find me, dude. Ha, ha, ha." This guy gave the victim his name and address. You know, I am going to tell you. How stupid can you get? It's like, hey man, you got my phone? Yeah, I got your phone. Where are you at? You're never going to know. Would you, you know, come on. That's the response a crook's going to give. You know, first of all, they're going to pull your SIM card out and it's going to go to a pawn shop or it's going to be sold to somebody for $20. You know, this amazing. Well, you're going to jail. What is a felony robbery in the UK? How much, what does the value have to be to, you know, here in the United States, you have a misdemeanor. Then you have, you know, like, I think there's three levels. And you, when you make the big time is when you go over a certain dollar value for something that you've stolen, or if it was aggravating circumstances, like you used a weapon, that's basically an automatic felony. In the UK, you know, what does the value of something have to be in order to actually get jail time? You know, here for misdemeanors, usually people get community service, a slap on the hand. They might get a couple of days jail time. But, you know, felonies, that's where you're going to go to the big house for a little while. But what is, you know, what is the, what's the cutoff at, for those of you there in the UK? I've got a health and wellness type of article I'm going to put up in the show notes. I'm not going to talk about it too much. You guys will see it in the show. You'll just see it in the show notes. I'm not going to talk about it during the show. But it's some tricks you can use if you've got concerns about some critters that may be in your home, some ways to, some kind of cool do-it-yourself type of ways to detect them if, before having to call a, you know, call the pest and rodent guy. And, you know, I think the beautiful thing about today on the internet, you can find all these cool little ideas to actually, you know, find out if you got a problem before spending the money to have, you know, someone come in and spend a lot of money. So anyway, that'll be up in the show notes for you. All right, Gizmodo did a 12-city 3G data mega test. And I'm sitting here looking at these results, and I just don't get it. Because AT&T blew the doors off everybody on their 3G test. So is it the iPhone, or is it, you know, is it the iPhone and not the network? Because they use a standard 3G card. And you guys know that I've got a couple of cards. I've got a Sprint card, got a Verizon card that I use from time to time. And in all these tests, here's the thing that blows me away. Sprint was like way down. And I don't get it, because that has not been my general experience. Sprint has generally always, I travel all over the place, and Sprint generally really beats the pants off Verizon, at least. And in this test, let me put this up for those of you on Ustream so you guys can actually see it. Let me roll over here. And I actually bring it up so you can actually see it. Let's say roll down here so you can actually look at it. They've got a bar, and the bar basically shows yellow for Sprint, red for Verizon, blue for AT&T, and doggone it, it's taking me forever to scroll down here for some reason. And you can see on the bar, you know, all the way across the top, blue, 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 with AT&T in the lead. Just amazing. It really, really is. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. Actually, I'm looking at the time. We have run really long tonight. And let me start wrapping this thing up. Special media return on investment, how to calculate social media marketing return on investment. I've got a good article by Robin Good here for you to check out. Link to that will be up in the show notes. So definitely check that out. I have another number of articles for you as well, folks. Talking about YouTube coming up with a URL shortener now. It's going to be youtube.be. It's going to be a YouTube shortener. I've got an article about RSS readers and how the market is in disarray. And then I have a variety of stuff on what's happening over at Justin TV and a launch on a pay-per-view service. And then we got to talking about a variety of podcasting it's basically question and answer. So those of you that are looking for more information on podcasting, also Soyuz was launching the National Space Station. So they got three folks heading up to the ISS. So they're due to arrive here, I think, tomorrow afternoon Eastern. Big report due to come out of the White House soon as well, where they're going to be making an announcement of major change to NASA's exploration strategy. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, a very comical article about AT&T talking about their infrastructure is not the reason for the iPhone connection problems. And I think, if you look at that 3G test results done by Gizmodo, it kind of leads into that a little bit as well. That's about it. That's all I've got in my regular stuff. I got a number of emails, and I don't know where did the time go today? I mean, it just blasted through. It really did. I looked over there at the timer on the recorder. It said an hour and 30 minutes. I said, how is that possible? And that has been going for an hour and 30. It sure didn't feel, no, impossible. There must be something wrong because the other timer says 51 minutes. No, that's not encouraging. No, it's no kidding. I looked over at the Adobe Edition, and it says an hour and 31 minutes and 55 seconds. And it's definitely got an issue. So thank goodness we've got an audio recording on the TriCaster. I was like, where did the time go? We've got plenty of time. I'm actually doing good for time. I just blasted through those last 10. Just going back to the 3G on the 3G results, I want you all to look at this. And many of you have cards. Take a look at this and let me know where you guys feel this is at. You know, you guys are using a variety of mobile cards. What are you guys' experience been? Okay, really, I'd like to hear from you on that. Let me go ahead and read these emails. Got an email from George. He said, hey, Todd, I was listening to you on the 1218 show where you made a request for a solution to upload your videos to multiple sites. I run Gary, GARITV.com, which is a site like YouTube for a very targeted audience. The site I use to upload videos to is about 15 others, including YouTube, is TubeMogul. Best of all, it's free. Keep up. Enjoy the. You know, George, I love TubeMogul as well, but they limit you to the number of uploads you can do free per month. And I actually went and priced what it would cost to push the multiple videos that we're going to do during CES to multiple sites. And I think they wanted $1,200 for a month, is what they wanted for the price. In order for us to cover everything that we wanted to cover, they wanted $1,200. And that's a pretty big hunk of change I think we're going to push to like 5 or 6 sites is what we're going to push to. We're not going to push to a total of 15. But if you're doing 2 shows a week like I am, you run through their free allotment, you know, just like that. You really, really do. Got an email here from Gary. He said, hey, Todd, you asked a question on a recent show about calibrating plasma and HD TVs. He says, Leo Laporte has an occasional guest named Scott Wilkinson of the Ultimate AV Guide who says that these TVs come shipped to display while on the showroom floor, i.e. underneath fluorescent lights, and is highly recommended that owners calibrate their TVs for the room they will be viewing. Scott did a blog post, and I have the link here, on this and reviewed a product called Digital Video Essentials by Joe Kane, which I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with Joe's stuff. And that's a $29.95 product. He says, I do not own or have not used these products, but recommendation comes from 2 trusted sources, kind of like you just thought I would pass it on, Gary in Grand Rapids. Thanks, Gary, for that. Appreciate it. Got an email from Chris, and this was more of a press release, but I want to bring everyone into up to speed on this. How many of you have blinds in your home? Do you know that there's a recall out? The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, in the midst of instituting one of the largest window blind recalls in history, the recall applies to nearly every Roman blind and or shade available. The products are being called into question due to an increased concern regarding child safety issues, specifically child strangulation. It's basically his company's been working closely with each of the manufacturers as well, the Consumer CPSC, and the American National Standards for Safety of Coated Windows, covering products to ensure the window blinds products that they sell meet safety standards. Now, I don't want to go into a pitch for his company, but what this reminded me was I had seen an article on this, and if you have blinds in your home, you need to go over to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission website and read the review, or read the recall, and read the actual companies that are affected. This is just a huge number of products that's on this list. The folks at Blind Shelley suggest general safety measures that homeowners should consider to include examining all windows covering for exposed cords that could pose a danger to children, installing cordless products when possible, arranging furniture so that there are no large pieces near windows. Yeah, right. We all have large pieces of furniture near our windows. Installing tension devices to keep any looped, beaded, chained, and or cord taut. So basically a few safety things there. But I guess there's been 16 near strangulations in addition to 5 fatal strangulations. These things have been on people's windows since the beginning of time. You know, really. Let's think about it. I remember shaded windows when I was a kid. That was, you know, 30 years, 35 years ago. So, you know, I guess, you know, use some common sense here, folks. But go ahead and look at what they have to say. And I'll give you a few links in the show notes. But if you want to get your shades replaced, hey, you can do it for free. Got an email from Luke. And Luke says, he said it was just for me. But I do want to make a point to him. And this is about donations. He said, Todd, I feel you're starting to copy Leo a bit too much. And, you know, be honest with you. And Luke, I do want to thank you because Luke actually did contribute. And I do want to say that even though he wrote me a little note. But Luke, one thing I do is I watch a lot of content and I listen to a lot of content on the web. And everything that I do, believe me, you to be creative, you have to really, if you want to do it by yourself, that's fine. If you want to reinvent the wheel and do everything from scratch, you can. But I go around and I try to find the best elements of everything that I see out on the web and I try to incorporate it into this show. Now, the audio portion of this show is what it is. I developed it. I came up with the way the show's laid out, and that is that. The audio portion of the show will remain the same, whereas the video now has to somehow come into it and play a part. And it over the next year, I'll be improving the process that I use to integrate the video into the programming while at the same time trying to not affect the audio listening part of the audience. The beginning of the show is always my time to kind of chat with everyone. I know that in the last 4 or 5 shows, that time has went a little long. It's because we've had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to talk about. But I also try to give you a little more at the end. So that if you want to go ahead and scroll through the first 15 minutes of the show, there's still a good 45 to 50 minutes of good content before we get to this portion of the show where we have the voicemails and stuff. And I understand your unhappy faces all the way through here, but please remember that this audience continues to grow in leaps and bounds. We've had our biggest growth months in the past 6 months that we have had in 4 years. And there has to be a reason for that. It has to be for the reason the way I'm putting the show together, the way the show is reaching more people in different ways, the way I'm trying to innovate with the actual delivery of the video and stuff as well. The video download numbers are climbing very good. I'm very happy with the growth. It's a 500 meg download if someone's to download this show to their iPod. 500 megs. And only the best fans of the show are going to do that, okay? Because you get a couple of these shows, boom, you've used some memory on the of the show. You know, do this for an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, keep the audio, the video quality the way it is, it's a big download. You go over to Revision 3, you look at Techzilla, You look at their long format programs, their videos are 500 meg downloads. Same thing. The streaming stuff that's on the site is available as well. The stream stuff directly on the site that people are watching are getting great numbers. Really great numbers. We've now at Ustream become a show that they are recognizing as a quality show. We've getting some acknowledgement there. So please understand that the show's been this way for 5 years, but it's time to move to the next step. And I'm going to take the best things that I find that everyone's doing. And if it's working for them, I'll incorporate in the show. If it doesn't work within the show, we'll walk away from it. You know, and I'm willing to experiment here. So, and I said on the last show that I, you know, Leo said he was doing the same, basically the same type of a deal where he was replacing his salary. I was kind of like, that's weird. So, it is what it is. But thank you for being a supporter and thanks for being part of the Ohana. I do appreciate it. And I do appreciate your comments as well. But, you know, just, you know, and again, we've gotten very, very, matter of fact, this is probably, your feedback was probably the most critical feedback that I've gotten so far. And, you know, I expect the Ohana, the family of listeners of this show, if they have an issue with anything that I do, I want them to pick up their telephones and call the voicemail hotline. I want them to call in, or actually email me and scold me and let me know. You know, that's what I expect to happen. And I know everyone's going to hold me to that. So, I appreciate your feedback. I really do. So thanks for letting me kind of reiterate. I didn't want to call you out or anything like that, but you know, just trying to, you know, let everybody know where we're going here. Got an email from Charles. Hey, Todd, I feel your pain traveling. Okay. We already talked about this one in the last show. So that's it for voicemails. See, I'm actually getting everyone out of here early. And, at least according to the timer on the, on the TriCaster. You'd say in a rush into those 10 last articles for nothing. We could have covered another 20. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. I hope that your families are well. I hope that Santa Claus is good to you. And if you're facing financial difficult times, our family will have you and our thoughts and prayers. Of course, all of the audience out there as well. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you celebrate Christmas or not. I hope that you have a good holiday period. Whatever your religious background may be, because we don't try to bring religion at all into this show. But I will tell everyone to have a Merry Christmas. And for everyone else, of course, a Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah as well. Be safe, travel safe, enjoy family time, and get refreshed, get your batteries recharged. Probably will not be an end-of-the-week show. And we'll be back with you next week. For a couple of shows before I head out to Vegas. But everyone enjoy. I know that I'm going to be having some downtime and shutting all the computers off and just spending time with my wife and Chris, who's here with us. My other two older children are in, actually three of my older children are in Michigan with grandma as we speak, having a great time throwing snowballs, making snowmen. They spent all day outside in the snow. So, you know, this was really their first time to really is in an age where they can have a lot of fun, engage in a good snowball fight, and had just a terrific time. So I'm glad they're doing that, and we're spending a little extra time with the younger one here, as we should, and take time just to kind of reflect and look in where things have went the past year and get refreshed and recharged for next. But no matter when you listen to this, if it's after the holidays or not, again, thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for being subscribed to the show. Thank you for supporting the sponsors as well. We'll be back with you next week with another edition of the Geekness Central Podcast. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1 619-342-7365. Those of you that are on Ustream that want to hang out for the rest of you, well, take care. Aloha.